prepare yourselves for Maniac the Podcast. Whoa. What's up, Maniac, the podcast? Here we are, living, loving, hoping it's all good today, hoping it's all good for you, most especially. I'm hoping that you are having yourself a decent day, because sometimes we don't have great days. Sometimes we have a string of bad days, and those bad days become a bad month, and those bad months collectively become, you know, our bad month becomes a string of bad months, and then it becomes just a year, and then eventually you're just like, man, my life is so bad. But the reality is you do have things you can do about it. And sometimes, especially now, I mean, the odds are stacked against us. The odds are fucking stacked way against us, right? You know, so, you know, what you've got people losing their lives to a pandemic that we've had very little help with, you know, that we've had very little information on, that we've had no idea what to do. It's just basically the void was presented to us right there, to everyone, a collective void, and it was like, guess what, here comes trouble, and what do? You don't know what to do. You don't know what to do, so you start panicking, you freak out, and your instinct is, fuck, I gotta go buy toilet paper, because you never know how, like, you're gonna be shitting your pants way more now, like, you realize you're going to be shitting so much more, so you have to go and you have to get fucking toilet paper for your ass, so that way you don't lose out on being able to make sure you're comfortable while you're panicking and shitting yourself, and you're going to have to buy tons of bottled water because, you know, fuck the environment, fuck all this shit, like, fuck everything, like, just buy tons of bottled water, because you never know what's gonna happen. The pipes are gonna explode, the world's gonna end. Thank fucking God you got fucking 5 packs of bottled water, and now you're set for maybe, I don't know, a month, maybe 2 months, who knows, because really, what are we really drinking? We're drinking soda more often than water, so it's like, fuck, that water's only for emergencies, so we're gonna make it last. God, fucking shit. Everything's stacked against us. But you know what you can do? You can look at what you've got that's good in your life, and you can say, fuck yeah. And your heart might be heavy sometimes. Your heart might be heavy sometimes with the horrific, gut-wrenching truth that you are not where you want to be right now. That maybe your life is not as well put together as the person next to you. That maybe you are not where you thought you'd be. That maybe you are not achieving what you thought maybe you would be able to achieve as things have started to kind of progress. And you see people kind of going further than you, and that's how you think it is. But that's not the full-on reality, because you are in your own lane. You gotta stay in your own fucking lane, and you gotta fucking achieve what you can on your own terms. You gotta do what you gotta do to make your shit better. You gotta start and really dig deep and go down and go, You gotta get into the basement, right? You gotta go into the basement of your fucking mind. You gotta start unpacking those boxes that possibly have some very important shit that maybe you've been ignoring, and maybe they've been kind of stinking up the place, and they've been kind of causing problems, and, you know, that's why you're starting to see ghosts and shit all around your fucking mind. You're like, your house is like full of ghosts, and you're like, what the hell? So you gotta start unpacking those boxes, and you gotta start calling exorcists, and you gotta start figuring out, like, what can I do about these ghosts, you know? And then maybe you realize, you know what, maybe I should just take a walk outside of this house. And so you get out of the house and you're like, wow, there's a whole fucking world here. This is crazy. And you gotta do it. And you can't be sitting there thinking that you're in a race with anybody, because you're not in a race. Everybody, I'll tell you what, there's lots of people around you that probably want to see you succeed. And if they don't want to see you succeed, if they say, like, I don't really care about your success, I mean, maybe they're just being honest, or maybe they're just not the kind of person you should have in your life. Maybe they're the kind of person you need to exercise. Maybe they're a ghost in your life. Maybe they're that ghost that just basically, like, said, like, I don't really care. And so now they haunt your mind, and you're like, what the fuck? So you're not, I'm not worth it. But you are fucking worth it. You are fucking worth it. And you are more than enough, and you are more than loved. You are loved, motherfucker. You are loved. We are all loved. So, feel loved. Feel good. Be okay. Let me tell you a little bit about Flaccid Jack and why these guys are musicians that you should pay attention to. Is because they are creating music, they are creating tunes that are different, but yet you can jam to them. They're familiar. It's a familiarity, yet it's different. And I'm, for one, never really totally impressed with things that are quote-unquote different. What I am impressed with is when something can be familiar yet different, in a sense that it's not like, because what is different, you know? If we want to make something truly different, that doesn't mean it's going to be good. But these guys manage to do things that are different, but in a way that's like they use familiar components, you know? So it's like they take car parts and they build a fucking jet engine, you know? So it's like they're taking things, you know, they're taking things from one thing and building another thing, you know? And they're creating in a way that is beautiful. I hope I'm not botching their lovely experience, the lovely experience that is them. They are a couple great guys. We have a history. We've known each other for so fucking long. Ever since we were both in bands, and I remember being in my band Values, and I remember thinking, "Holy fuck! Like, these guys kill it." They were in a band called Run Amok, and they had a cool grandpa, dad band grandpa named John Kershaw. Rest in peace, his lovely, beautiful, exploratory soul. He was a wonderful guy, and they were awesome. And, you know, when I saw them, they weren't that much younger than myself, and we're not that far apart. But we do have around 5-6 years difference in age. So when I saw them, you know, it's like, to me, they were kind of like these young kids just trying to have fun and enjoy themselves. And I didn't necessarily take them under my wing as much as I watched after. I just kept an eye on them because I wanted them to keep having fun. And I wanted them to keep enjoying it and doing it the best way. I wanted to be like a big fan. So I was like, just be a fan. And it wasn't hard to be a big fan of them because they were fucking awesome. And they eventually broke up, and that's just the way it is sometimes, you know. It's not always easy to keep things going for so long. And then eventually, they've started doing more shit. The drummer started doing more awesome stuff, and I hope I can get him to, you know, do a podcast episode and hang out and chill out. You know, but he is a sick drummer, and now he's doing tons of musical projects, and he did amazing shit, and he's still doing amazing shit. And these guys, the same. They're doing amazing shit, and they've been doing amazing shit. It's been fucking awesome. So, I want you guys to experience and enjoy what I've got here. Since you are listening to this intro, most especially, you are probably listening to this on the audio. So, just to give you guys a kind of setup of what's going on, audio-wise, or visual-wise, you know, if you watch the video on YouTube, you'll see. We do this via StreamYard. And what we do is we are, I'm streaming from my computer in my office, at my desk, and they are streaming from an iPad in their car, and it's pretty cool. It's pretty chill. They're pretty calm, chill guys, you know, we have a decent conversation. Hang out for a bit. They play some songs for us. You might not hear the songs that great, but I think that's kind of like the intention. It's just kind of like a little teaser to kind of let you know what's going on. And yeah, get ready for this shit, guys, because it's going to be fucking awesome. So, without further ado, I want to present to you the myths and legends, the ultimate, the best, Flaccid Jack. Welcome, everyone, to Maniac, the podcast. This is the reboot, I guess you could call it, because usually the podcast is just me ranting solo, and it's kind of fucking weird. So now I've got actual guests here, and I'm joined by my lovely, beautiful people here, Flaccid Jack, of whom I've known for fucking ever. And I met them when they were in a whole ass different band called Run Amok.
Before Matt.
Before Matt. Oh my lord. Oh god. If everybody's just be like, what's Matt? Who's Matt? let's talk about you guys and, like, you know, what's going on with Flaccid Jack. And, you know, since quarantine has been like a thing, I'm wondering if that's been like a hold on, let me adjust something here. It's probably better. That's better. That's way better. My face was way too close to the fucking screen. Very uncomfortable. I was like, hi. For one, it's just good to see you guys again, because holy fuck, ever since I've been out of the scene, and, you know, I'm sure, like, things have changed so much and quarantine, you know, so it's like, haven't happened to run into anybody, you know, at shows or at any kind of random places. So, just how's things been?
Not bad. I know me and Dalton kind of got split up in the pandemic. I was out in Brooklyn. I ended up staying with my girlfriend out there, like, in the height of it. So, I was seeing, like, makeshift morgues and all this crazy stuff out there, and I didn't go out for 54 days or something like that. But it halted our whole process. We were going to come back as Run Amok. And we had a drummer in mind and stuff. And Liam's on his own wave. So, like, that's cool. And that's a whole nother thing. But yeah. We've talked about jamming as Run Amok, definitely, with him. But this became its own thing. We wrote one song before the pandemic, had like a couple songs going, but it really didn't pick back up until I returned back to Connecticut from New York City. But I'll let Dalton talk about his time during the pandemic, but we were just separated, so that's why the music didn't keep going during that time until after.
Yeah, with me, I actually, music was kind of on pause. I played guitar a little bit, but it was nothing crazy. I actually kind of forgot, like, just playing music for a while. I got into just watching shows, and it was probably not a good thing. Probably most of it because I was on writer's block. I could not write anything at the time, so I figured I'll just take a break from it, do other things, and doing Flaccid Jack or recording, that really helped me get out of my which was really good.
Yeah, it was like a relief. Once we did get back together and do music, it felt good to like share that connection. Like, we missed each other as friends. Obviously, we spent so much time together before pandemic and writing music together, so coming back, it's almost a really refreshing moment to share that and make art with somebody after not making. I made art alone. You saw some of the stuff I made during that time. It's not like making music with another person, and there's no other experience like that, like with art. It's a special thing to have another person writing stuff with you.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, that's great. And the fact that you were in fucking New York, like, you know, out here in Connecticut, I was just like, you know, we just had to deal with like empty grocery stores, you know, like that. Yeah. That was,
you know, it was annoying, but like the shit you saw, my fucking God, like that's right. That had to be some fuel there.
No, it was crazy to see from afar. Like I wasn't going out to grocery stores at that point, so it was crazy to see all these shelves empty and people. I don't know, like an Armageddon. I was ordering everything to the house there because we didn't even want to leave. It was such a bad area. Mm-hmm. I was in like Chinatown in Brooklyn, and it was just there was a hospital 3 blocks away. So there's just, it just did not feel safe to go outside.
Oh my God. Holy shit. Yeah. God, you were in that zone, my Lord.
How about you? How did you deal with pandemic? Was it a lot of art or music, or what was your thing?
Oh God, it's fucking chaotic.
I know, right?
It was, you know, I think it was just like, cause like I eventually got it because my girlfriend, she got it from somebody at work. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I'm like, well, here we fucking go. Let's see what happens. And, you know, I'm thinking like, okay, I have no idea if this is going to kill me suddenly. I don't know how it works. And so I was just like, all right, I'm just going to draw everything. And I just started just drawing tons of crazy shit. And because it was like, all right, am I going to die? I better not leave like a weird, incomplete fucking body of work, you know? So that was me. I was like trying to be a completionist, you know, and trying to like, I was like, all right, if I'm going to die, I'm going to leave something behind, you know? And
respect that. Yeah. That's something I've thought of lately. Like, I'm like, if anything did happen to me when I was out there, I was like, at least I'll have this bit of music that I had did, or like, you know, I wanted to complete stuff more than ever. Like there's always something on hold, but I'm sure when you were creating stuff in that moment, you're like, if this is my last thing, I got sick too. So I know, you never got sick, right?
No, I was fortunate.
Yeah.
Good. Don't get sick, Dalton.
Yeah, don't get sick.
I had a couple of scares, but
don't fucking do it, man. I mean, I don't know how everybody else went through it, but for me, it was lots of diarrhea and it was terrible. So, it was just like everybody's like, oh, this horrible disease, and I'm just like, I can't get off the fucking toilet. I can't get it.
Oh man,
it was bad, but you know, like the thing that I'm always happy about, especially seeing you guys doing Flaccid Jack, is that I feel like that, you know, I don't want to assume that it was a reactionary thing from you know, the pandemic or, you know, whatever attitude may have, you know, formulated it, but I do feel like it seems like something that kind of spurred out of that, because I think a lot of people are having like a mental change, like, you know, they're starting to rethink how they perceive the world, you know, like they're like, all right, well, Armageddon's happening, so I'm gonna do what I fucking want, you know, like, so I mean, like, is that kind of like the roots of Flaccid Jack a bit, or like, you know, I think, you know, I really want to get into the concepts of Flaccid Jack. I really want to just...
Like the concept of the music itself, or like how it came together?
Everything. I want to know, because I'm like super, you know, I'll get fucking crazy chatty, but like I've been intrigued. I've been like, okay, this is interesting. It feels like very much like a Bruce and Dalton project, but just... evolved, new. It's, I could go on, but I want to hear you guys, like let me have it, like blow my fucking mind.
Yeah, it started like I said, with a couple songs, and we didn't really have a direction at first. Dalton came in with a riff, and that became Boxcar, which I'll play for you in a bit. We'll play it over the car speakers for you.
Oh yeah. It works. But,
as long as you can hear it, we'll make sure. But yeah, it started off with that, and that song just took like a turn where we were like kind of shocked by the sound and how things were coming out. And we wanted to do Run Amok again, but it just didn't make sense. And it, like you said, we wanted something refreshing and new. Yeah, so it started off like that. And then when we came back together after this whole pandemic and started working on music and trying other things, there became like a sort of a theme. I don't know. It became a concept once we put all 10 songs together and realized that there was like half of them kind of sounded like a cityscape and half of them kind of sounded like nature-esque.
I don't know what if you want to put your input on that.
Yeah, and I think like the biggest difference between this and the other projects that we did, Run Amok and stuff, is all of it was on the spot. We didn't put too much in, like, with Run Amok, we would overthink it a lot, like, with a lot of the parts, and this was just on the spot and creative as possible, and that's why I think the songs are a little bit shorter, but I think that's the most special part about it, is just how instantaneous it was.
I know the glory of writing short songs. It's like, oh, thank you. I don't have to like slog through this like 10-minute epic or whatever, you know, like people try to do.
It's so true. And like with these, there's since it's more ambient, there's a lot of parts and stuff that like we're thinking about playing these live and without a drummer. So that's going to be challenging, but it's something that we want to do when it gets back to normal, obviously. But yeah, like with all the layers and stuff, it's good that they're 2-minute songs because there's synths and all these things. So we're just going to kind of have a setup of instruments on a stage and like play whatever we want per song. Like Dalton may be playing keyboard on some songs. I may be playing keyboard. We might both be playing a guitar. We just want to keep it open to that and have it be kind of a new live experience. Cause a lot of music is kind of boxed in live, and I've always seen it like I've performed with an acoustic alone, and that's really intimidating compared to playing with a loud rock band. Like,
yeah,
I'm sure you can relate. Like when you have all this behind you and it's blaring, you feel that energy and it kind of pushes you. But like our voices without all that, are they as good? You know, or whatever. You know.
I get what you're saying. It's. You know, like the idea, I love the idea that you're putting out there is just like that it's not necessarily like, all right, let's have a routine, you know, like let's.
Four piece rock band, like bass, guitar, drums, vocal. Like it doesn't have to be that too. I guess it's different too because this isn't like heavy music. So that's another scary challenge that we're going to have to take on is to play these songs without the yelling and the distortion and everything.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think it's gonna be good no matter what. I mean, it's like for me, what I've realized lately is it's like it's all how you're perceiving shit, you know, because it's like, you know, it's like values was like, oh Lord, they're gone.
The lights are out.
Oh no.
There we go.
Oh, there we go. All right. No, it's cool. Like when, you know, we're going crazy with values and shit, it was most fun in the beginning because, like, I didn't care. I was like, okay, this is sloppy and stupid and loud, and I'm just going to make no sense. Like, that's cool. Mm-hmm. And then when we started to, like, care and make routines, it's like, this isn't a job, but, you know, you're trying to make it a job, and it sucks. You know, it's like, I have a fucking job, and I hate it. Like, I don't want another job that I hate. Like, you know? And so what I like is like that you guys are being bold enough to create something that is like, you know, like, well, fuck it, we just want to do it, you know. There's no justification really, and there's no need for it, you know? I like that.
Like what Dalton said was it was very spontaneous, so like coming up with these songs and having them come together as a concept, we didn't say let's write a concept album. But when we put them together, like we were doing a track list, like how are we going to order these and everything, all 10 songs, and ordering them, we just noticed this theme of like it going from nature. Like I put a lot of nature samples into the music and the production, like birds chirping and like things like that, rain sounds and stuff like that in the background, along with synths that are kind of airy. But then it goes to like probably one of the songs I posted on Instagram that you heard. It's more hectic and guitar-esque, and it sounds like kind of like a busy city type sound. So I don't know. We kind of went, it's just like a transitional from nature to being in the city, which I can relate to. I went from Vermont back to here and then to New York City in a pandemic. So,
so like, would you say that it's like, Could it work? So does it kind of sit more on a personal level for you, of kind of like, for both of you, you know, how you kind of see the concept of that? I love that idea of like nature into, you know, sort of just man-made industrial. It's kind of like almost, I almost from my perspective right there see it as like, you know, like that's, you know, man is far more reliant on, you know, technology and the, you know, society being within a sort of technological infrastructure. But I mean, is it personal for you in that sense of like going from a more natural environment into, you know, a more city environment?
It's not something that's like a personal level, because the concept was, like I said, super spontaneous. But I would say, like, really along the lines of what you said, like there's like the simplicity of being in nature and man, and like how the relation between that and then the city and getting caught up in technology and money and, you know, corporations and all that stuff, and just that loop of stuff that really doesn't matter. That like, if you just had food on an island and you were in nature and like, I don't know, you can survive that way. But in a city, like, there's all these things that matter that really don't. I don't know. That wasn't like the thought going into it, but I guess that's what you could take from it. What do you, what would you say about the concept that we came up with? Because it really came naming the songs and making the track list, like I said.
Yeah, I think from the beginning to the end, you could really hear the first couple tracks. It seems to be more up-tempo, nature, birds, you hear all this. And then near the end, it gets a little bit darker. And the very last song, I think, is probably one of my favorites. The outro of it is just chaotic. And I feel like that's just how the world is right now. It's just like, I feel like, I hate to be that negative guy, but I feel like there's like no coming back from it type of thing. Like, it's just... Yeah. Hopefully there is, but I did that. I feel like that ending song is, it really just shows what's going on just globally.
Just hearing you talk about it and having only listened to it minimally, you know, like I've lately, you know, been trying to connect more with spirituality personally, you know, trying to like. Cause it's like, sometimes you sit down and you're just like, you know, nothing's wrong, but something's wrong, you know? And it's like,
right.
You know, it's this weird kind of like conundrum of like two, like you just, it's this duality of like, what the hell's going on?
Yep.
And you know, sometimes it's like sometimes I'll step outside and I'll just stand there and I'll just like, just take it in, you know? I'm just like sitting there. I'm just like, this is fucking nice. Like I'm just outside and it's quiet. And, you know, it's like,
yeah,
you know, to me, it's like, you know,
like self-aware than other times. Like I wake up sometimes and like I said, so caught up in like cell phones and communication and work and everything else that like when you're self-aware and like you said, you just walk outside and you're like, wow, look at the sky, or like, wow, like, I don't know, just a beautiful moment that you share with, like, it could even be the music. Like, there's times where me and Dalton have created something and we're just both like blown away. To us, like, we make music that we would listen to, and I think it's something I would listen to. Like, I was talking to Dalton about the production of it. Mm-hmm. I'm really proud about how far I've come with recording something on my own. I've shown people, that were like, oh, what studio did you do that at? And that's flattering to hear when you're, you know, I'm sitting there like obsessing over every little sound, trying to make it sound good. So, yeah, I think being self-aware is important, and just being in the moment, enjoying something.
Oh yeah.
I could definitely relate to that. I you don't always do it though.
Yeah, no. Well, you know, it's like, I think, cause like, you know, the way you guys are talking about like how the album is going to go, like, or at least as way you're putting it, like how, like then from the nature to the urban, and you know, it makes me think about like, this is like, I just listened to this record cause we got Damn by Kendrick Lamar on vinyl. And My favorite way to listen to that is the collector's edition, which is the album, but then he backwards. Puts it backwards.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm like, because I'm like, I don't know how that's going to work. And I listened to it, and I was just like, why is that so much better? I don't, I, like, what the hell? Like, because it's,
it's a crazy perspective, because I'm a huge fan of, we're both a huge fan of that album. When it came out, we both bought the CD, like, the next
hell
day.
Hell yeah.
Went to Best Buy and bought it, if that's a thing anymore. But I overplayed that CD so much, and still to this day, like a few years later, I listen to that album and find something new that, whether it be lyrics or sound, that means a lot to me. But yeah, no, it's interesting to hear that go backwards, the collector's edition thing. And I remember him talking about how it could go either way, like, and it's like a life or death perspective or something. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, well, you know, it's like, I think in a sense, like for me, musically, I used to be so personally nihilistic with music. Like, I just was like, you do it, and then that's it. It is what it is, you know? And I never considered concepts to be of, you know, like, I like concepts, but it was like, okay, it's like, you know, the guy's doing a concept. But then, like, you know, I got led into, the, like, the fray with Kendrick and, you know, To Pimp a Butterfly, you know, like, I listened to that, and I was like, oh, this is like a fucking, this is a funk album. You know, this is not like a rap album, like he's rapping over it, but it's a funk album.
Or like a movie.
Huh?
Like a movie even.
Yes, yes. You know, like the whole reason that he did, like, because like the whole reason he did funk sounds was because it was reiterating his time as a kid in Compton. And mm-hmm. So that's why it was like, you know, what his parents listened to. So it's like, and I was like, what? And then he's like, but there's more. And so, like, you know, knowing that, like, artists can take music, you know, and do that, I was like, holy shit. You know, so hearing you guys actually kind of, like, incorporate that stuff, I mean, is there anything lyrically that you guys are going to be, like, doing, like, individually for each song? Or are there, like, you know, like, what – lyrical content, like, let me know what's the 411, I guess.
So I think I would say, like, it's a 50-50 split, probably. Like, half the songs have words and lyrics and melodies and everything, and the other half is instrumental, but there's samples and sounds and things thrown in there to not just make it like a loop, you know what I mean? Like an instrumental could easily be a loop where you're just hearing the same guitar and drums play over and over. But what we did was layer stuff and do things. So it kind of is a buildup on those type of songs. The thing that I wanted that I thought I pulled up on my phone because I thought it was relevant was the title of the album, Visceral, is kind of what inspired a lot of the words or a lot of kind of like related back to the concept or at least to writing the music. The definition is relating to deep inward feelings rather than to intellect. So like, I think a lot of this is just like, I don't know what I'm feeling. Like these things can be overwhelming. I don't understand them, but I'm feeling them and it's genuine and it's out there and it's on the plate. It's not, I'm not like analyzing myself or understanding all the time. I'm just like, I'm sad, I'm angry, I'm whatever.
Yeah.
I feel like that was a big tie-in, that name. And we talked about that name, and I sent Dalton the definition, and he's like, that's a cool, what do you think, like, about that, or talking on that?
And I think, like, the way I see it, too, with everything going on, is me, personally, I don't know, like, with my age, I'm going to be 25, I have no idea which direction my life's going in. I can't see to the future. So, yeah. Like, I feel like right now, like, the music, it kind of has that element to it, too. Like, there's no, like, it's not a negative, like, I don't see it as a negative thing. I just feel as, I just don't know. And that's okay. I think that's okay.
Well,
so that's how I take it.
As a 31-year-old, I can tell you, at 25, not knowing what you want to do, that's okay. That's, you are perfectly fucking normal. Let me tell you something. It is okay. And, you know, and I'm glad that you guys, like, actually, like, for the idea of visceral and having it mean, you know, in relation to that and actually be in relation and just it just makes so much sense, you know, especially with what has been going on. I think, you know, there has been a lot of effects of that word in the sense of like people like what the hell, like, are we supposed to feel? Like, you know, like, I'm scared, but I'm also happy, but I'm also like sad. Like, I don't understand, you know? Right. And, you know, I mean, I think it was like the people who kind of came out on the other side kind of okay. Like, we're, you know, we're all trying to still figure it out, but we took the time to go, okay, this is happening. Can't forget. Like, let's see what else is coming, you know? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you know, I'm kind of glad that, you know, out on the other side, I find, you know, a weird band called Flaccid Jack and they're writing something that, so now I'm wondering, am I ever going to get a collector's edition of Visceral, with,
well, we're going to do cassette tapes. So, we're doing baby blue cassette tapes through a friend, David Hulk, who's, he was in Limited Freedom and he's in some bands with Liam now. I went through Liam and asked, like, how did he do his tapes and stuff. So he sent me over to him. And, yeah, we're going to get those made along with some shirts to go along with it for now before performances are a thing. And kind of work on that. Like, that's our big thing. We didn't write these songs as performance songs. We wrote them as kind of like a studio song. Like, it's not unplayable. Like, it's not impossible. It's not things that we couldn't develop. Right. Figure out, but it'll take some figuring out because they're not just they're not like basic guitar songs, so we'll find a way to play them.
A lot of strange tuning, so that's gonna be a challenge.
Doll needs more than one guitar now. Yeah.
Like per song or like
there's like two or three.
Yeah, actually I think there's four.
But if you switch tunings like during the songs, like that would be an extra level of
it would be an extra level for sure. We're gonna try to bring a few guitars, I guess, since we don't have drums. We have to compensate and bring more instruments now to figure it out.
Well, you know, I watch artists like Reggie Watts and how he just, you know, just goes on stage and is like, I'm gonna make people laugh and dance and just makes music with his mouth, you know, and just creates loops and shit. And it's like, you know, I think something like that kind of broke the mold of like, you know, like, oh, you can make music however you want. Like, look at this. Like, you know, there's no rules, you know, to it. Like, you know, a lot of people, you know, will catch themselves and they're just like, oh, we got to follow the rules. And it's like, no, you learn the rules and then you break them because, you know, fuck the rules. You know, so, I mean, you know, I think that would be very interesting to kind of see how you guys, you know, plan it out and put it together and, you know, kind of create a crazy vibe. And, you know, I mean, like, I can only hope for a very trippy, like, Pink Floyd on an independent level, like, you absolutely know, kill it.
The influence is there for sure. A lot of metal and Wish You Were Here, that's a big one for both me and Dalton, Wish You Were Here, that album. That being a concept album, but like I said, we didn't go into it with any concept, so it's cool because I've never really written anything with a concept. All of our other music was not conceptual at all. They were just kind of like individual concept, not concepts, but topics. What were you saying before? I had something to what you were saying. I forgot what you were talking about right before.
It's okay. I think we're all kind of blanking out. That's all right. I've been thinking about it lately. Like, I've been having a lot of like memories of back in the day, you know, performing and stuff. And with you guys, you know, I mean, like, I always remember you guys, and I just remember for some reason never like meeting you guys, never knowing who the fuck you were. And then I, you know, watched you guys perform and I was just like, oh, this is different. You know, this is not like, you know, like, you know, any kind of weird thing, like lights out. you know, it was like, I was like, thank fuck, you know, for something different. You know, like for once, you know, and the criminal act of people always making you open. I was like, don't make these beautiful gentlemen buffer the show. Like
weren't hardcore enough to play near the middle of the show.
Yeah. I think at that time, it's like, I remember thinking, I was just like, why is it like this? Like, why do people like get like that? But, yeah, I mean, I always remember, I remember Johnny Kershaw, I met you rest in power. And the first time I ever met him, and I never talked to him, but he went behind our merch table, grabbed our styrofoam head that we put our hats on, stuck a Run Amok sticker on the back of it, and laughed manically and just ran off. And I was like, what the hell was that? And it was the best fucking thing I've ever seen. So there's just so much like that's like intertwined with like our existence and everything going down. And I really am like stoked to hear what you guys got now. Like what, like I want you guys to play some shit. Like just even if it's gonna be like weird and warped in the microphone. I don't care. I wanna hear it.
I'll try not to blast it so that way it's audible. But I'll let you tell me if it's too loud, I'll play something for you.
All right.
But the first time I met John, actually, it was he used to play at this show or this venue called The Room in Brookfield, and I thought he actually worked at the venue. I didn't, because he was after every band, he would go and take everyone's stuff, help them out, and I didn't even at the time I didn't even know it was Liam's grandfather.
I remember The Room. I remember when we played there together that one time. And I tried.
Oh, Brendan let me borrow his guitar because I think I broke strings or something. But he let me borrow it, and then he smashed it or something.
he destroyed it. He kicked it. I was like, what the fuck? And I remember I brought a hoodie that zipped like all the way up, and I was like, I'm gonna wear it. It'll look nasty. And I started doing it, and I was like, this is not gonna last. This is too fucking hot.
I totally forgot about it. That's insane.
Yeah. Like I said, man, like you look back and you go, oh my Lord, it just goes. So
old videos, before I play this, I think this is what I was going to touch on before was we were watching old videos of us play and the connection and stuff. And then, it was really cool to see how like the ambient parts are like the weird trippy things that me and Dalton were playing went with Liam's heavy taste in music, and just seeing how people near the end started to understand a little bit more. And like, there's just some cool videos on YouTube we were watching and we were reminiscing and shedding tears.
Yeah, that's what, you know, it's like, that's where you look at it and you're just like, you know, we did it, you know, we fucking, you know, as far as I was concerned, I was like, you guys were like a success. You guys did it and did your thing. And, you know, it's like, if you guys decide to do more, fucking awesome. If not, Legacy sealed, you know.
I talked to Liam about recording some of those songs, like as like a keepsake, just going there and tracking them. And even if we didn't play shows or do anything, it would be cool to have those. And he's got his own studio now and stuff too, so that would be a treat to share our production knowledge and actually do something better than like a garage recording, which is most of the stuff we had.
Yeah, I mean, it's like, what works, you know? So, I mean, like, that would be something really cool, you know, to see, like, brought to life, you know? But, yeah. You know, like, go ahead.
Oh, yeah, it is what it is. Like, it was an era of music for us, and it taught us a lot. But this was definitely, like you said, a Dalton Bruce thing, because we went off and we were just like, we were playing everything that we wanted to hear in music that we started listening. Like, I feel like when, maybe correct me if I'm wrong, but after Run Amok, me and Dalton kind of dove deeper into ambient indie rock and like weird, I don't know, like definitely stuff we wouldn't listen to when I was like 18. I was very much like grunge and I don't know, anything a little bit heavier than that, punk rock, and just, yeah. I was in that realm at that point, but now I'm like, play me a synth, sing falsetto, please.
Trust me, I, on my iPad, I play with synths all the time, and I think it's a weird, like, eventually everybody gravitates and they're like, synth is pretty awesome. It can be anything.
Like, I guess you're 25 and you're like, synth, I like it now.
That's exactly right.
So I can accept it.
I'm excited to hear some of this stuff. So let's okay, jam.
I play you. This is Boxcar. So I'll play you like the middle part since instead of playing the whole song.
Okay.
That we really both like. Try to scroll over to make sure this works. Tell me if it's too loud. A little bit louder, I think.
It's good. That's good.
Cheers, Mike.
Cheers,
to art, to making it through a pandemic and seeing you sometime soon.
Yo, for real. For surviving the end of the fucking world and, you know, seeing what comes next.
This is like our favorite part of this song, just because we never did vocals over like a solo or anything like that, and we took the chorus part right here and put it over the solo. So yeah, that's that would be the single if there was a single.
The single if there was a single
world, yeah.
I like that. What was the lyrical content there? What was going on with the wording and any meanings going on there?
There's no direct meaning of this one. This one was kind of like a wordplay. I guess it could tie back to like the after we wrote it when pandemic hit, and this was the first song that me and Dalton had put together before masks and everything, coronavirus and everything. So I guess the lyrics, it's Boxcar laying on its side. Yeah, it's talking a lot about just like dysfunctions of the world, and that song is the middle song in the album. It's the transition from the nature to the city, okay, urban part of the album, or the other half of it, I guess. And yeah, that's I guess that's just the transitional song. And it didn't really have any direct meaning, but going back and hearing the words, it's kind of about that, just people not cooperating and everything being a mess.
No, I get you. I think, and I get what you're saying, like in a sense of like, you know, like, because I don't really, even when I'm doing any kind of art, I don't think of meaning. And then like I look at it and I go, what was I doing? You know, like, oh God, this is something else. Right. You know, like for me, when I, you know, you say a boxcar on its side, right? Like it definitely, like, especially since you're saying that's in the middle, it's almost like, to me, it's like, okay, your nature, right? And then all of a sudden a fucking boxcar comes out of fucking nowhere.
Exactly. Like, it's kind of like the thought, like the, like, oh no, we're like, we're interrupted, or like this, things are changing, or I don't know. It's like, I guess it's a song that's about not being prepared for change. How about that? I'll give it that.
There it is. Okay. So, like, yeah, you know, like I don't mean to make you force any meaning. That's not a
no. I think it's a realization, I guess. Thinking back to the lyrics.
I like that. That's And that's really fucking cool. Like that you guys actually like it. Like the fact that like, you know, it's, you found a place for it in the album where it kind of like, even if you didn't mean it, it's just like, oh, perfect transition. And I can already see it, especially when it's like, oh, fuck. Like here comes urban warfare. You know, like I'm fucking ready. I like that.
I have a cell phone now.
Cell phone? I can do anything with this. I'm going to kill. Okay. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I think the next one I'll play for you. Dalton was talking earlier about the last song, and it progressing at the end, and kind of that being the ending, kind of gives it like, I guess like the hectic feel right at the end is sort of saying like you reach that cityscape and it's over, or like things are Armageddon, like the way the world is and people just denying facts or not, like, I don't know. A lot of just the world falling apart. I guess that's what it sounds like. That's, I'll let it speak for itself. I'll play you a little thing from the end. There we go. Give you like a minute. It should be good. Let's go back a little bit farther. Too loud, or is that good?
Oh, that's good.
Okay.
Sounds spooky as fuck.
That's my door in the background as the drums. They sampled the door. A lot of synth.
Yeah, well, I like it a lot.
In the background, there's speaking vocals. It's the longest, it's me reading the longest run-on sentence that you can find if you Google it. I was just like, I don't know what to read. Like, I want to use something cool, so I did that.
I think that fits perfectly with how the world's going crazy, and you're just like, you're in that phone anyway.
Yeah, like this is, your city just blew up.
It's like, what do we do now?
Yeah.
Look up the world's longest run-on sentence.
So yeah, that's how it will end. That's one of our favorite parts, I think, of the whole thing. That was just really cool. A lot of it is layered synth. There's not a lot of drums. If I did use drums, it's a lot of drum machines and stuff, so.
Ain't nothing wrong with drum machines, my man. I respect them. They're never off beat, you know?
That's true. Yeah. That's the only thing I have to worry about. I was like, we have to be on time. That's it.
Yes, yes. And I particularly liked the way with that song, like, I just heard like alternating of like bliss and then kind of like back into like unease. And I feel like that is the pandemic. That is not to call this a pandemic album, but
relate to that feeling, though. Yeah.
Yes, and I feel like it's you know, there is this kind of like yearning of like, because everybody's like, oh, when are we going back to normal? And it's like, it's going back to normal. Like this is just going, you know, and it's like, it's a new normal now. And right. So it's, you know, but I think everybody has in a way that tugging of like, yeah, I want that bliss again. I want that, like, you know, that almost false sense of security and guarantee, you know, even though it wasn't real. And then it kind of pulls you back and you're like, oh, you know, this is real right here, is this unease that I have to look in the eyes and I have to fucking just walk through it and just deal with it, you know?
Yeah, dealing with the new normal is definitely something that, I mean, I don't think anybody thought that this would be a thing. I never thought we were supposed to see Rage Against the Machine.
Yep.
Pandemic ruined that. I don't get to see Zack De La Rocha perform songs from Evil Empire. I'm upset. But that's not the biggest problem. It's the unease of and anxieties of dealing with the new normal, like going out in masks and being in New York City. I walked in Manhattan when it was still, when it had first started and the streets were empty. It was like, it was something you'd see in a movie. It was scary. It was, I have a picture of myself on the subway and nobody's on it. It's just empty. Me as the only person in a car. And that's just like, that doesn't happen there. But yeah, the new normals of everything, it's crazy and adjusting. And I think we're all pretty used to it now, which is good. But I mean, flashback a year ago, it's a year anniversary now, I guess. Yeah, none of us were ready. I remember when I did go to Brooklyn, I asked Dalton to give me a ride to New Haven, and he was like,
He was like, nope, good luck, have fun.
Right. He's like, you're on your own. You're going into the epicenter.
Right. And I think, you know, it really kind of like just changed like so much of our brains, man. Like my fucking, like, I remember just like when protests started, you know, in the summer, and I remember fucking getting caught up in that. And I was like, it was just like, I was like, I just want to fucking feel something at some point. You know, like there was a lot of that going on personally.
Did you go out faster?
Oh yeah. I fucking went out there. I actually have the sign still, cool. Black Lives Matter hanging up. You can't see it from here, but, you know,
that's awesome.
Well, you know, it's like, it happened, you know, it fucking happened, and a lot of people, and it was like, I think that was the first real battle and understanding of perspective, you know, and that was like, because like, you know, like everything was shifting, and then it was like, everybody was like saying different shit and realizing that, oh, these words, you know, are being used to deflect this and this and that, and it was like, this is a big war on perspective and understanding, you know, where everybody is standing. You know, and it was just like, cause like, you know, of course, like a virus breaks out that's killing everybody and people start protesting that. And I was like, what? The virus doesn't care. It's going to kill you.
Yeah. You can't protest the virus away, but
there's no 25 to life for a virus, you know, it's like, and that's the truest fucking thing right there, you know? So, you know, that was my perspective on it. You know, you have to fucking, you know, consider, you know, what battle you're fighting. And, you know, eventually once things have calmed down, that's when it's like, okay, now what the fuck are we going to do? Like now what's going to happen? Like so much fucking happened so fast. And it was like, okay, you know, the brain is apparently something we need to start taking care of. And I think everybody started realizing like, oh, mental health. Like,
yeah, definitely. Everybody, I think everybody, whether you've ever experienced, I mean, we all have a story, but I feel like if anybody hasn't experienced mental health issues, they did now. It's a hard time.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hard time for sure. And going back to the Black Lives Matter thing, I think it's amazing that people still went and held those officers accountable, no matter the situation. Everybody was trapped inside, but yet we all came together and came out for that great reason to support that, which was really important. While I was in New York, I saw a march go by me with a bunch of people with drums for Black Lives Matter. And I saw mother and father with a four-year-old daughter, and they were all white. Not that it matters, but it was empowering to see a family bringing up their kid, like, this is what you should be doing. Like, you need to speak up for others. And it brought a tear to my eye. I was like, that's amazing. And being out, there was this one point where I was out during the times where there was curfew in New York. So you had to be inside by 8 p.m. or the police could arrest you and stuff. And I had to travel past Barclays Center, this really busy area. And I'll try to make it long story short, but it was the most police officers I've ever seen in any area. It was like 60 police officers on foot. And I saw like 40 cars go by, all with their sirens on, like fear tactics, trying to scare people from doing the protests. And cause that's the biggest protest area where they were smashing the windows and looting and everything. And and it was just crazy to walk through there. And I know that I have white privilege to be able to walk through there safely and go home. But I know an hour after that, anybody that was out there, regardless of skin color, was being beat down for standing up for that. So going back to, I think it's important that everybody went out of their house and did that. And props to you. That's really cool.
Well, you know, like I said, like, you know, Connecticut was a different story than, because like I remember seeing like the horrifying, like, because like you guys were pretty much ground zero. New York was ground, like, in, for America at least, was ground zero. So I mean, it was like that was way worse. And Connecticut, it was bad, but it was like, there's a real divide between, you know, the real like one percenters and the impoverished, so to say, to put it in more exaggerated words. But
right,
you know, so people were just like, all right, we're just gonna stay inside, you know. And you know, people who are, you know, trying to still get money, you know, they were out delivering for Instacart and all that shit. So, you know, it really wasn't too big a deal. We just put masks on and it was like, all right, let's walk, you know, let's do this shit and see what happens. And I personally went to one of my old hometowns in Enfield, because in that community, the police are, it's not a good relationship. Let's put it that way. The police community.
It's an important place to protest is what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, like I saw different protests all everywhere and I realized like, all right, because I went to a couple, but if I was going to go to one, I was going to go to that one in Enfield, because, you know, it was definitely a place that needed to have, you know, this kind of march. And even, you know, my buddy Chaz was telling me, like, he's, you know, we're pointing at people who are outside in their houses and they're watching and they're like, you know, all these years Enfield's been a town, like, they've never seen anything like this, and they'll probably never see anything like this again. You know, this is a big thing. And you know, it was interesting. But that's when I started to really think about it in a way of like, because a lot of people, when you go online, you see people spitting like vitriolic shit of like, you know, like, I'm not bowing down to black people and I'm not doing this, and it's like, nobody's asking you to. But also, like, what I realized, it's mainly communities, like very like separate communities have their different ways. And so different communities are going to have their different reactions and outcomes and all that shit, you know? So it was like, for this, it was like, you know, this was a point where, you know, the community and the police department really needed to kind of patch shit up, you know? But, you know, it's there's a whole fucking thing out there. It's fucking weird, but
yeah.
But you know, it's the way I saw it at that point was like very much like, you know, when you perceive it from your online community, you think it's affecting like your fucking household pretty much. But when you go and you hit a protest in your like own town, you start to understand the relationship of police and your community, and that really gives you perspective.
Right, you can tell if the police in a community care about the community or not because they're not being protested as heavily if they're taking care of the people. And I think it's cool what you did because you could have easily just went to New Haven. And, like, I'm sure, not that it's bad to go to, like, a New Haven protest, but it's more beneficial to go to an area that needs that support more or may not have as big as a turnout. And that's really cool. I think that's awesome.
Well, you know, it was... As I told people, it was not an experience that was fun. It was something where it was like, okay, if I'm gonna, you know, start spouting off online, you know, start, you know, like I try to, you know, like I think anybody should hold up is if you're gonna like express yourself online in a way that's kind of false to who you are in real life, you're gonna have fucking problems like for, you know, the rest of your existence. You know, so for me, it's like for better, for worse, I've always tried to be very truthful. Like if I'm going to express myself online like that, my brain apparently, you know, believes this and is expressing this. I better get my body into action from there. So it was mainly like, you know, my first best friend, you know, not to like be that kid, but like my first best friend actually was like this young little black kid. And I remember his name. And he was like the best friend I had at a school in Hartford, you know? And it was like, oh, wow. Yeah, like, you know, you think about it like, oh, it's humanity. You know, why wouldn't like they need help? Why wouldn't, you know, like if somebody needs help, you know, anybody needs help, why not? You know, like why hesitate? You know, it's, you know, it baffled me that there was the vitriolic intensity, but you know, it is what it is.
Yeah, it's crazy to think that, I guess speaking on that, and me and Dalton have talked about it before, is that, Black Lives Matter is important, or like people always say all lives matter and all that, the people that are going against that idea or whatever. And it's like, it's Black Lives Matter because those like, people have been oppressed, people have dealt with hate and dealt with all this negativity. And like you said, you're coming in and like being hand in hand, it's just humanity. And it's not about all lives because we're all okay. Like we haven't experienced those things. And that's what I always say to people who say that. I think it's absolutely ridiculous when people say that, but yeah. We've spoken on that before, but yeah, always coming to the aid of, you know, the person who needs help. It's humanity. It's, I don't know. It's just what you do. It's the right thing.
Yeah. You know, it's like the way I saw it yet again, like I said, it was the war perspective in the sense that like, you know, people were, you know, like for some people, the perspective of all lives matter was just like, yeah, you know, it's like, I think people who were saying that were very genuine. There was a lot of people who were very genuine about that. You know, they weren't trying to be, you know, evil or coarse, but in a sense, they didn't realize that what they were doing was deflecting the idea. And, you know, yeah, it's like,
it's not about everybody. I know what you're saying. They're not trying to be harmful or malicious, but it's not respecting the idea that, yeah, you know, that's Black people have dealt with that for years and years and years, and oppression and hate and, I don't know. It's not about anybody else. I don't know. What do you want to say something, anything about that?
No, the one thing, there's always those negative people that be like, oh, no lives matter. And I'm like, oh my God. And that was the one I was like, now you're just giving up on humanity at that point. But no, I agree with everything you guys are saying. So.
Yeah. It's so much has already been said. I think this is us now just kind of coming together and like, you know, like, I hope people understand is that, like, we all haven't seen each other in so long. It's, you know, we're all, like, kind of come back together and it's like, let's catch up and remember that. You know, so, yeah. You know, so much has already been said, you know, we're not going to say anything, astounding or new, right. You know. Yeah. It's just kind of like, you know, it's like, yeah, like, it's
almost common sense to us.
Yeah, you know, for me, it's just been like, you know, like after all that shit happened and like, you know, I remember stepping back from that stepping back from all the crazy shit and the fact that I was still working full time at my job. And it was like, I remember I was just like, why am I fucking exhausted? And, you know, that's when I realized it was like, I need to like this, like something needs to happen here. Something like needs to change, you know, not like this like drastic, like, you know, I'm going to go to fucking India and, you know, become a fucking monk. You know, like, you know, like, but just like, you know, something, you know, in here needs to go through a sort of change that, that will help me kind of like not be so reactive. Like, that's what I wanted to stop doing. And I think what a lot of people I think should really consider is like, stop being reactive. Is like, you know, like when you see something, like, don't just be like, well, fuck that, fuck this, or like this and that, you know, it's like, don't be reactive, you know, like take a minute, absorb it, and then think like, okay, you know, because a wise man thinks something over 7 times, you know, like that's one of those sayings. It's like, you know, it's like, don't, you know, like think about it for a second, you know, we have this for a fucking reason, you know, like, we, you know, it's to consider shit. And so, yeah, I was like, all right, what can I fucking do? You know, and I've already read the Tao of Wu, you know, and I'm like, I thought that was like, that got me somewhere. And, you know, but then it was like, there's more, you know, there's more to, you know, and I realized like, oh, like, you know, like what I've been realizing lately, like all the spiritualness and religion and everything else, it's all the same shit. It's just perspective. It's like, you could, you know, like you could say, if you want to have a bad time, you can just have a bad time. You can just literally sit and exist and have a bad time. But, you know, if you want to like feel okay, if you want to like be okay, you know, it's like, you can totally be okay. It's just a matter of like, you know, yeah. I mean, it's like there are, you know, and never to discount somebody who is actually going through like horrific chemical imbalances that they can't control. It's a matter of like the fact that there are people who will just sit and have a bad time, you know, like, because they'll just look at the bad things and just be like, ah, fuck everything. And it's like, well, there are other things, you know, like there's, you know, it's like, when I fucking became unemployed, I was just like, you know, like people were just like, I'm so sorry. And I'm like, I fucking hated that job. Like I was like, sweet.
Yeah. I was working at a Subway when I went out to New York and I lost that job, but like, it was like, oh no, you lost your job. And I was like, ah, it's okay. I'm all right with it.
It was, you know,
there's a certain point that you reach though, like I know Dalton was, you were sort of happy to have some time off, but then like after a certain amount of time, you were saying like about losing it. I felt the same way.
Yeah. The beginning I was like, oh, cause originally, this was the weird part too, is when they brought us all in, which was probably a bad thing at the time. Granted, they didn't know much about it, but they all brought us in one room and they told us, oh,
that, you know what, sorry to interrupt, but I guarantee you that was like happening. That's what a big part of the spread probably was, is a bunch of people like, let's have a conference meeting about this everywhere. And then they're like, why are we having so many spikes? It's because people, oh god, that's fucking funny. Anyway, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. He goes, branch manager goes, oh, we're going to be, they're basically suspending our work for a couple weeks. And we're like, okay, I think it was like March 18th. And then they said the 29th, you guys would be coming back to work. And we're like, okay, we're right. A couple weeks off. We were happy about that. And it's turned to months. It got to a point where it's like, nope, not coming back yet. And at first it was fine. I was playing Call of Duty all night, drinking the hard seltzers, having fun, and then all of a sudden it's just like, all right, now like my mind is going crazy.
There's got to be more to this than.
I have money. That's I don't know what to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, like something like that was legitimately the meaning behind fucking calloused eyes that values did. And when I started screaming, there's got to be more to life, like. That's what I was really kind of like thinking about. I was just like, there's got to be more than this shit. Like, there's got to be. you know, and then it's like, now I'm realizing it's like, well, I mean, you know, there's so much more, but you got to fucking find it yourself. Like, you got to like see it yourself. It's already there. It's like, there is much more, but it's, you know, it's already there. And, you know, so it's like, you know, sometimes like, yeah, fuck it, I'll play video games, but then I'll get the fucking itch of like, I should maybe start drawing, because like, that's maybe like more productive. But then I'm like, but I'm really having fun. Like, I'm like, I've been playing Ratchet and Clank over again. And I'm like, I fucking love this game. So like, I don't really, I'm like, a fight. You know,
I feel that way too. I feel like there's times where I'm doing something and I'm like, you know, I should really be mixing, or I should really be doing something like productive, like something that will come of my time, opposed to just sitting. And not that video games or any of that is bad. It's important to treat your brain to that fun stuff. But
yeah,
really, I always catch myself and I'm like, I feel naughty for not mixing.
Or naughty.
So very naughty. I gotta get to. Dalton pays me too much money to do this.
Yeah. Naughty brain.
I'm like, this is why I pay you for the studio time, but I haven't paid him yet.
That's I'm waiting for my funny. Royalty.
That's what we're all waiting for, man. I mean, that, you know, like, I don't know if you guys have, you probably watched the video I made, but I mean, like, have you guys heard much more about the NFT shit?
I saw a little bit of it, and that concept of the royalties that you were talking about. Like, so if someone reselled it or resold it, then you'll get the royalties for that. I thought that was very interesting.
It's lucrative, and it's also in the audio form too. It's everything basically. And I like it right now because, like, you know, like you're saying, like, wait for my royalties. Well, in this case, the royalties are just because the way the marketplace is built with, and like with Ethereum and everything else. It's like, there's no choice. Like, this is built into the system. You are you're the owner. And if people start reselling what they, you know, what they got from you, you know, you're going to get your cut still. And, you know, that's why I was telling them, like, listen, if Flaccid Jack wants to get some royalties, you know, make a fucking freaky video with some sound and turn it NFT, and now you're getting royalties.
That's what we'll have to do for sure.
Yeah.
I can't get royalties right now. The videos I've been using are like old or weird videos that I find on YouTube in like the weirdest corner of YouTube. And then I just put like a filter or something over them and mash them to the song. But I think something that I've realized as a musician or a local musician is that songs, and I'm sure you've had this happen, like, you could post a song and no matter how many followers you have, a lot of people won't react or see it because of algorithms and all that stuff. But yeah, like, it's important to have a visual with it, I think, is what I was getting to, is regardless of if it's a thing that we filmed or not, I think when I throw it on Instagram and just to get that sound out there and have something that catches somebody's eye, but then they listen, that's important. That's something that I've kind of learned that I did with Mirror Glue that I've applied to this. Flaccid Jack was almost Mirror Glue, so we decided on this name.
I see, not like you said, Mirror Glue, and it was just like, bing! Like, yes, I remember Mirror Glue. I still love Mirror Glue. And and you're so very fucking right, is that visuals are very important, I think, in anything. I mean, even audio nowadays, you know, like, they're making audio become visual and visual become audio, etc. It's like, it's all there. I mean, like,
yeah,
you know, like, this here is like, you know, like, we're, you know, recording a video and then I'm going to turn it into audio also, so people can just listen to the audio, but then there's visuals that they can, you know, so that way they can see human faces, at least if they want to, you know. And
yeah, it's easier for some people to take in. I have trouble listening to podcasts. I just have a short attention span and I can't listen to like talking in a room. So I like short podcasts. Like, I follow this one that talks, I don't know, it's called Wake Up Wind Down. It's on Spotify. It's cool. You should check it out. but it gives you like a tip, 2 minute tip in the morning and 2 minute tip at night. It's like an Irish guy and he's just talking in a very ASMR voice. But besides the point, he's giving really solid advice. This week's topic was like frustration, and the best thing that I took from it this week, and I'll share with you guys because it's a nice little tip to use when you get a little worked up, you get a little mad. He said to treat your frustration like you would treat like a little kid getting upset about something, like, oh, it's going to be okay, you'll be all right. Like, and I did that a couple times this week. Like, I work in a grocery store and it's frustrating in pandemic when people are like this close to you. When you're like stocking bananas or doing something, but I had that thought in my head. I'm like, this moment won't matter in a couple hours. I won't even think of this. Like, as much as I'm pissed off and letting this ruining my hour or whatever that moment of my day, like, I just gotta be like, don't be a baby about it. Like, relax. It's not important. It's not long-term. And I'm trying to be more self-aware as I reach my 25th year. Quarter life crisis is coming. I have to buy a Ferrari.
Don't buy the Ferrari. I can say that. And I guess what I'll...
100, it's going to the Ferrari.
Now it's going to the Ferrari, just to spite me.
I'll pick you up.
That would be good. Yeah, and I'd be like, you know what? Fuck my advice. Totally worth it.
It's thick. I like this guy.
And to expand on what you just told us, which was fucking awesome, from a podcast that I like, that I also recommend, would be the Duncan Trussell Family Hour.
Is that the guy who did that Netflix show, that animated? Yeah. I watched that show, made me cry. Did you see that at all?
No, yeah.
You should check. You would actually really like that.
That show
was great. Talks a lot about
sobbing like a baby. I was sobbing like a fucking baby at the end.
they take not to interrupt you, but they take they take the podcast and they make them into animated form, mm-hmm. and it's like really trippy and interesting. But we were just touching on, it makes it more palatable to me when I have trouble sitting down listening to a podcast. So when it was animated and I found out it was a podcast after, I was like, oh, that's really cool. But it made me listen through the whole way through. There's an episode where he talks to his mom who's dying of cancer, mm-hmm. and like talking about life and death with her, and it's very emotional. You should definitely check it out.
Yeah. That was the one that I was like I started crying, and then my girlfriend walked in and she's like, are you okay? And I'm like, it's just, he's talking to his mom. But it's not, and it's like, it's so profound because it's not like, if you watch it, she's not like sad or upset. She's very happy sounding. And it's Duncan, her son, who is having trouble, you know, kind of like, he doesn't know how to react. And
there's my keys.
Sorry.
I like that. What he was talking about was with anger. He said, I don't know if it was like his guru or somebody told him to, when you start to get angry, imagine it like, just picture like, you know, like a flower blooming, and watch that flower, let it bloom, mm-hmm. you know, inside of you, you know, and like understand it, something to that effect. I can't remember the full quote, but you know, it's this idea of like, you know, let the anger flower, but don't like push it out into the reaction. Like, don't be reactive to it, you know, just like, you know, just a picture, or I guess how he puts it, like, anger is a sweet flower with bitter roots. That's how it's perceived. So it's, you know, it's like, yes, like, you know, like, you know, try, you know, find ways to like, you know, understand that like, it's okay. Anger is anger, frustration, like this shit's all part of you.
Yeah.
But you don't have to like punch a wall, you know, you don't have to like yell at your girlfriend, you know, it's like, just fucking understand it, you know, find a way to understand it more, you know, but, yeah.
That's what you turn the anger into, whether you turn it into something productive or not. Cause I've million times over, I've been self-destructive when I could have turned my anger into something maybe like bettering my life or, you know, just doing something creative instead of just sitting and being angry or feeling bad for myself.
I mean, you're definitely not wasting your time in that sense because, you know, like it just is what it is. You're doing what you want to do. You know, it's like, it's, you know, it's like sometimes like the way I was even thinking of it was, like when I, that drawing I posted recently of the really toothy thing. And, you know, I did a story of like, you know, like, is this out of love or is this out of hate? You know, and people, you know, like, you know, voted, but it didn't matter what people voted. The point was, is that they're both the same fucking thing. You know, it's all in the same concept and we're all going to feel like love and hate. And, you know, like sometimes I've hated myself, but I hate myself because I really want to love myself and I don't know how. And, you know, sometimes when I admit like, oh, I hate myself, that lets a little bit of love in. And I'm just like, no, wait, we can do something else. Let's, you know? And so it's like, it's kind of like the fucking yin yang shit, you know, where it's like, sure, you know, you were angry and you weren't doing anything, but that definitely at some point without you even noticing led to you doing something more productive, you know?
Right. Like,
that's how I think of it. It's like, we always think of like, oh, I can't believe I wasted my time with all that. It's like, you didn't really waste your time. Like that was your time and you used it, you know, it just,
yeah. Everything is an experience and regret is the worst thing you can do. I feel like no matter what happens, you can't be in regret. Like everything teaches you something, whether it be bad or good.
Absolutely. That's really it. You know, it's like ride the fucking roller coaster, man. It's all a big old game, you know? And,
oh yeah, just a ride.
that's how I've thought of it. But you know, so I know you said you like short podcasts, but this has gone on for about an hour, so realize you're not going to listen to your own podcast.
It's cool. There's been a couple. It just has to be a good topic for me. I can't listen to multiple people talk. I like music podcasts and stuff like that. I like to. There's like a really cool Tame Impala one. That he kind of spoke on kind of like this, where he was speaking about the songs and playing them. And I thought that was really cool, but yeah. Oh, it was nice talking to you. We miss you. We want to see you soon.
Hell yeah, man. Soon enough. Eventually when, you know, the coronavirus becomes, somewhat like the common cold, you know, to, you know, one way or another, you know, when things aren't so dangerous, so to say. And, you know, I'm very sure soon, I think this summer, things will start to, like, you know, open up a bit more. And hopefully we don't get scared back inside from another fucking spike.
For our music's sake and for social sake.
Oh, absolutely. And why don't you share socials, anything, like go ahead and tell people where they can find you and all that good shiz.
Absolutely. It's Flaccid Jack on Instagram, just all one word. We have a Bandcamp account once everything's posted. I would follow the Instagram for now and all the links will be up there. We're planning on the next week or two to release this, so a definite date will be up on there. I'm a OCD mixer, so I'm sitting here and I'll mix a song and then I'll be like, it's perfect, and I hear one discrepancy and yeah, I'm crazy. I want this one to be good though. We've never put anything out, me and Dalton together. Run Amok only had shitty recordings that were just done with one mic in a room. So very like, you know, distort, you can't hear anything. This is like the first real recording session me and Dalton have done as a collective thing. And as, you know, all the songs going together, not just a bunch of random one-offs. So yeah, Flaccid Jack on Instagram and everything else is to come. And yeah, thanks for having us. We're going to send you a tape and a shirt when everything is said and done.
Hell yeah.
You can replace Run Amok shirt with a Flaccid Jack shirt. Where's the mic?
That's what I forgot. Straight up, I was going to wear the Run Amok shirt. Fuck, I still have it. I was gonna wear it. I forgot. Oh God. Oh yes. Well, yes. It was great talking to you guys.
Great talking to you.
Per usual.
Vinyl too. So.
What's that?
Eventually, you want to do vinyl too. Press vinyl. Hopefully.
Oh hell yeah. Oh, I need more records. So fuck yeah.
So
yeah, we should have brought that up. You and Dalton could have a whole conversation about vinyl.
Yeah, it's the one thing I got into during the pandemic is collecting vinyl and more listening to it. It's more than just collecting. I listen to all of them. I'm like crazy about it. So
a weird nerd moment I had was because we found some old records. My girlfriend and I, when we've gotten into cooking more, and we listen to records now while we cook, and. You know, we found this old beat up Stevie Wonder record, Inner Visions. And I was like, I hope it works. And it did. And it was like, oh, this is beautiful. And it's like so warm and beautiful the way it sounds. Yep. And then I got in my car and I was just like, all right, let me put it on to Spotify. And I was like, oh, what have they done to it? Like, it sounds terrible.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like you realize.
These 180 gram, I've never really listened to vinyl. I finally sat down and with Dalton and listened to some of like our favorite records that he had bought, and he has like some of the really high quality 180 gram vinyls, and I felt the same way. I'm like, I'm listening to this on Spotify, and there's so many things that I have never heard. It sounds like hearing it through the like speaker in the studio when they're recording it. Like, it sounded crazy. We were listening to like Make Yourself by Incubus and a couple other ones, Igor with Tyler the Creator, and I was just like, wow, these are great, great, great albums to hear on vinyl. Really cool, especially a modern album. I feel like it's kind of trippy but cool to hear something that was produced like a year ago on a vinyl.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot of, I think, like when something was put on tape originally, especially, it just, it's like, that's when like the age was like made for it, you know, and it just works so well. And it's, you know, I used to be like, oh, you know, it's like interesting. And then I'm like actually listening to it, and I'm like, oh my fucking God. It's like, there's effects, but they're not like, you don't really hear them, as opposed to nowadays when it's like, there's an effect and you know that there's an effect. It was an interesting thing, but yeah, exactly. I'm sure we could go off for hours.
Oh yeah, we have a separate podcast for vinyl.
Well, I'm very sure this won't be the last time that I have you guys around. You know, this is definitely mainly me trying to redo things and kind of talk to my favorite homies and artists, and hopefully give them a little boost. You know, a little something that, you know, you can talk about. There, yeah. and you know, just, yeah, you know, and we have a good conversation and all that shit. So, you know, thank you guys.
It was an honor to be back on the first one that you did, and we wish you the best of luck with the rest of them, and hope you have some cool people. And maybe I'll finally listen to a podcast with people talking, because I like you.
You know, it's like, just find something you might like, man. You might, you know, it's like, you might just be listening to shitty podcasts. I don't know. But
right. I think that's just it. I just got to find my niche.
But either way, yeah, make sure everybody checks out Flaccid Jack, two beautiful, lovely young gentlemen who are in their mid-20s, and they're confused about life. And that's completely normal.
Yes, I don't know why I'm feeling these things, but I'm feeling them. So listen to my music. It's not angsty anymore. It's sad. It's confusing.
If you want, yeah, see, there. There's the reason to listen to Flaccid Jack. Make sure you check it out. Thank you, everyone, for checking out Maniac Podcast and hanging out with us. See you later.
Clap, Dolan.